We're going to talk about the hand of ministry. Every aspect of ministry has its part and plays its part in doing the ministry of God. And then when we think about our hand, each part of our hand, each finger, and of course the palm all have a part to play in that ministry. And so if you are taking notes, just to kind of something that would help pass the time slash be a little creative, if you want to draw a little hand on your notebook, paper, or you're on your page, you can do that. If not, I'm still going to give you the parts of the hand of this. So number one, we're going to start with the thumb. We're going to start with the thumb. Does anybody have a guess about what the thumb is? I like interaction. Anybody have a guess? The thumb? What part of ministry? Anybody? Any guess? It is a thumb. You know what, Mr. Charles? A gold star. I bet he got gold stars in school. I know he did. How about this? I'll give you some options, and you can tell me what the thumb is. So there's five options for these parts of ministry. There's fellowship, there's evangelism, there's worship, there's prayer, and there's discipleship. Those are the five aspects of ministry we're going to talk about this morning. So give me a guess on the thumb. Anybody? Prayer? Who said prayer? Give her a gold star. Ms. Charzetta got prayer right. Give her a tally. End of this sermon, you guys said no. I'm going to give a prize to the winner. So, no, but thumb. The thumb, this is our very first part of ministry. This is our front line. People say, why the thumb? The thumb's kind of small. It is. But thumb is a small thing that you kind of overlook, but it's the most powerful part, right? Your thumb is the strongest finger on your hand. Your thumb, scientifically, is the strongest finger on your hand. Your thumb is the most sturdy finger on your hand. As a matter of fact, all your other fingers, when they break, they'll most likely put a splint on them. But if your thumb breaks, almost always you have to put a cast on it because it's so strong and it needs to be so sturdy to be able to heal. So your thumb is very strong. Your thumb is the only finger on your hand that can touch every single finger without any assistance. Every other finger on your hand has got to be pushed by another finger, pushed by your other hand, but your thumb can touch every single one of your fingers unassisted. And your thumb, and likewise, the same way, prayer has to touch every single part of ministry. You can't have any other part of ministry without prayer. It's got to touch every single one, right? It's got to touch every single part. I'll go to the scriptures. 1 Timothy 2:1, it says this. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Prayers for all things and for all people. Likewise, it goes on in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says this. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. These are all if-thens, right? Not this is going to happen just because. It's if-then. With prayer, it only works if you use it. If-then. If-then. And when you pray, and it says, when we're called, us who are called by his name, when we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn away from all unrighteousness and wickedness, then he will hear the prayers and he will heal our land, right? We should not do anything without praying first. We should not do anything without seeking God's counsel first. You guys know I had a birthday yesterday, so I'm 37 now. But, yeah, praise God. But there are many, many men in my life that I've sought counsel from that are much older than I. My dad passed away about 3 years ago now. He was one of the ones I used to go to. Of course, my father-in-law, Pastor Forney's here. I have my former youth pastor, Jeff DiGiacomo, who's the one who led me to Christ. I have my very, very first pastor who told me I was going to be a pastor, and I told him he was a big, fat liar. And here I am preaching now, Reverend J.J. Blassingill. I will seek out him and his face on things. A lot of times I will go to these guys when I'm making a decision in ministry. Before I even think about it, I'm like, man, obviously talk to God first, but I'm going to talk to these guys, people who have been there, people who have done it, people who have been through it, endured it, to give me some good, wise counsel. So why would we not seek the face of God, who's been through everything we could possibly think of, who's endured anything we could think of and not even think of, way more than we could ever endure? Let's go to him for counsel and wise counsel. We got to seek his face in all things. The last four things I'm going to say about prayer. Once again, if you're taking notes, this is the last four things I'm going to say about prayer. Number one, prayer is a conversation. Prayer is a conversation. And we forget about the conversation. The conversation has two parts. There's talking and there's listening. A conversation has talking and listening. See, right now what I'm doing is I'm preaching to you or I am giving you a message. If we were having a conversation, this would be a lot of call-response, right? A lot of times we say, oh, I have no problem praying to God. I pray to God all the time. Me and God, we're in tune like that. I pray all the time. You take your problems, which you're supposed to, your burdens, your worries, your doubts, your feels, your wants, your desires. You're supposed to take all that stuff to God. And we're so good about that, right? We're really good at that part. But the other half of that is the conversations. We have to listen to what God says. God's not answering my prayers. You're not listening. His voice is still and small. You're having a conversation with God. You speak, you listen, you speak, you listen. As a matter of fact, you listen twice as much as you speak. That's why you have two ears, one mouth, right? A lot of times that hole under our nose, we got to shut it and open the other two holes up on the side of our head and listen to what God has to say. And I know a lot of you are married in here, and if you're talking to your spouse and all you're doing is talking and never listening, your relationship won't be very good. If your communication is talk, 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 don't hear a word they have to say, you'll find out really very quickly how downhill your relationship can go. Like God, our wants, our needs, our desires, our fears, our worries, our doubts, and never ever listen to what he has to say back to us, that relationship's not going to be very good. Prayer has to be, number one, a conversation. Number two, prayer is an invitation. When we pray to God, we invite him into our lives. We invite him into our situation. We invite him into our space, if you will, when we begin to pray. It's an invitation. Fact of the matter is, the way God set up is he's like, listen, if you're not going to invite me to be a part of it, I absolutely will not. But I will not be the one who's hurting. I'm going to say that again. If you don't invite me to be a part of it, I absolutely will not. Will not. We have church this morning. If we don't invite God to be in here and be in our midst, he won't. He's like, all right, go ahead. Do it on your own. Let's see what that gets you. Let's see how far you get without me. Not in an arrogant way, not in a boastful way, but in a, hey, I know better. I'm trying to help you. But if you don't invite me, I will not be a part. Prayer is an invitation. When we pray, we begin to invite God into our space, our situation. So prayer is a conversation. It's an invitation. And it's a consideration for God's way and God's thoughts. See, when I ask for wise counsel from these gentlemen, or if I ask for wise counsel from my wife or anybody else, I am talking to them, giving them conversation. I'm inviting them into my situation, and I'm going to consider what they have to say. I am considering. That's the only reason I'm having this conversation, because I'm considering. If I don't care about your opinion, I'm not going to talk to you about it. Oops. So we don't pray to God. We're saying, God, hey, I don't care what you have to say on the situation. I got this. That's what you're doing. You're taking no consideration with God by not praying. And if you think you can do it on your own, then by all means, have at it. But I'm going to tell you right now, in 37 years, I failed multiple times doing it on my own. Consideration. Last thing. Like I said, prayer is a conversation, invitation to take consideration, and then it causes transformation over all situations. A lot of times if I get upset with someone, or if I get mad with someone, or somebody I feel like does me wrong, it's real easy to stay upset, mad, and hurt until I pray. And then once I pray, all of a sudden, it's really hard to stay upset, mad, and hurt at somebody when you're either praying for them or the situation. Because God will transform your heart, your mind, and your attitude real fast. Likewise, with all these aspects of ministry, when they're prayed over, they transform. They grow, they get stronger, they get better, and more people come to Jesus Christ because it's covered in prayer. But if we don't do that, if we allow this stone to be out here by itself and never use it, it will not assist the other parts of the ministry. So part one's down, thumb, gone. We have four more parts. We have worship, we have discipleship, we have fellowship, and we have evangelism. What do you think the pointer where the index finger is. Say again. Ooh, she must be reading my notes. Discipleship. Discipleship is the pointer finger because discipleship tells us which way to go. Discipleship points out or calls out those of us who are called to follow Jesus. Discipleship. Discipleship is an important thing because what is discipleship? Discipleship, and the definition is following something. If you're a disciple of Marvel, you're going to follow Marvel to the T. If you're a disciple of Star Wars, you're going to be all about Star Wars. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you're going to be all about Jesus. If you are a true disciple of Jesus, you're going to want all the things, you want to know all the things about and all the parts of Jesus. In John 8:31, it says this, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold my teachings, you are really my disciples. So a true disciple of Jesus, not somebody who has a whole bunch of knowledge, because a lot of people have knowledge of Jesus. Atheists have plenty of knowledge of Jesus. People who are agnostic, and even people from other religions have a lot of knowledge of Jesus. But the Bible says, if you hold my teachings, then I will know you're my true disciples. Then I will know. Now you know about Jesus' teachings, you'll be reading the Bible. You'll be studying the Bible, meditating upon the Bible, and learning from the Bible. Then he said to them this, in Luke 9:23, whoever wants to be my disciple must first deny themselves and take up their cross and daily follow me. You want to be a disciple of Jesus? You want to be a disciple of the Lord? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him daily. Got five things. It's an acronym at the end of discipleship until you can start being a disciple. So once again, if you're taking notes, out to the side, S-T-A-R-T, going down, I'm going to give you a word for each one of these letters to help you better be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Number one, on the S, you got to stop. We have to stop trusting in ourselves, in our own power for salvation. You want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Stop thinking you can do it on your own. Ephesians 2:8-9. We'll give you the reason why. For it's by grace you've been saved, so that no man can boast. By grace you've been saved, so that no man can boast. So nobody here is better than the next. So nobody here can earn their salvation, can work for their salvation, can make their salvation happen. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So stop believing or stop thinking you can do it by yourself. The first T, is to turn. Turn away from all things that the Bible calls wickedness. You must turn away from all things the Bible calls wickedness. We must turn. We cannot be a part of any part of that if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The reference for that one was 2 Timothy 2:19. For if they are my disciples, they will undo and unhinge all things that the Bible calls wickedness, evil, and sexual immorality. Attend, on the A, is attend. That's Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the gathering together of the body. You must attend a Bible study, a church, weekly, daily, whatever it is that God's called you to do. You must attend and don't forsake doing it. That means do not think you can go without doing it. You're like, I hear people say, well, I watch church on TV and I listen to Joel Osteen and Mike Todd and I listen to Craig Rochelle from Life Church and I do all these things. And so I go to church. That is not what the Bible's talking about. That's great to get extra listening and extra teaching from other people. But the Bible is very clear about us gathering together as a body to grow, to learn, and to support one another. That's what the Bible wants us to do, to get together. Do not forsake it. Don't think that, I'm a little tired this Sunday, or you know what, I did work overnight last night, or you know what, the kids are being a little rough. I've been there. I'm not saying this to anybody that says, I'm not telling you, I'm calling you. I'm calling myself out because I've been in all three situations. Kids had a rough day, didn't go to church. Worked overnight, didn't go to church, right? But do not forsake it. Do not forsake the gathering together. I will tell you this, I never regretted going to church, but there's times I wish I would have gone. but I've never regretted going, only when I haven't gone. So he must attend. The R, he must read and obey the word of God. Read and obey. That's Joshua 1:8. Read and obey. Keep this book of the law written on your heart that you may not sin against the words of God. Read and obey. That's why you have to, this happens double. You can't just read it. You have to obey it also. And that last letter, that last T, is tell. Tell everyone that you know about Jesus. Want to be a true disciple? You tell every single person that you know, you come in contact with, about Jesus. Does that mean you have to give every single person you know a sermon? No. I mean, every single person that you talk to, you're going to be able to convert and turn for Jesus? Not at all. Not a chance, as a matter of fact. There's nobody that's 100% turned people for Jesus. Okay? But you can tell people about Jesus by how you carry yourself, how you treat them, how you interact with others, what comes out of your mouth, and what you do for the kingdom. A lot of times people will know whether or not you're a follower of Jesus Christ before you even open your mouth, because of how you carry yourself. And if they can't, I would ask myself, how am I carrying myself? So I wouldn't at least question, you follow that Jesus guy, huh? Or you've been to church or something before, huh? Something. If they can't, I wonder, well, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? What am I saying wrong? How am I treating people where they don't think that I have the love of God in me? We've got to tell others, not just with our mouths, but with our actions. But if you want to be a true disciple of Christ, you want to start being a true disciple of Christ, this is what you must do. Start, stop, turn, attend, read, and obey, and tell people about Jesus. All right, we're at the halfway mark. We're almost there. What we have left is fellowship, evangelism, and worship. Who has a guess for the middle finger? Huh? Nope. There's one more. Worship. Middle fingers worship, right? And she didn't get it. Middle fingers worship. Middle fingers worship. Why the middle fingers worship? That's the biggest thing, huh? To God, right? It points to God when you put it up. Not like that. But also, worship's got to be the very center of everything we do. Because worship, fun fact, is not just the music. Worship is not just the music, but it's got to be the center of every part of ministry. Yes, a big part of worship is singing songs of praise and worship to God. Tell us that in Ephesians 5:19 and Psalm 95:1, that that's what worship is. But worship is also prayer. Worship is opening our Bibles, reading, studying, and meditating. Worship is evangelizing and telling people about Jesus. Worship is sacrificing of ourselves for the kingdom. Worship is following God wholeheartedly. So how can worship be all these things? Because this is what worship is. Somebody told me this a long time ago. Worship is our response to what God's done for us. I'll say that again. Worship is our response to what God's done for us. So that means that in response to God dying on the cross and raising from the dead so that we have an avenue to heaven, we sing songs of praise and worship to him. We pray to him daily. We open his word. We meditate upon it. We tell people about Jesus. We go out and evangelize. We sacrifice of ourselves, of our money, of our time, of our effort, all for the kingdom. That's what worship is. And when we truly worship God, that is in the middle of all the things that we do, all parts of the hand of ministry. So worship is a big thing. It's something that seems so simple until you think about the actual, what worship is. Like I said, it is our response to what God's done for us. And so in our response to what God's done for us, we're going to do all these things. So worship's got to be the very middle. All right. There's two left. Two left. What's the ring finger? Say again? Not fellowship, huh? Evangelism. He got that point. Sorry. Evangelism. Evangelism. Why is the ring finger evangelism? That's kind of weird. I'm going to tell you why. Yeah, it's very. I'm going to tell you why. And this is going to sound kind of a weird idea, but I want you to go with me on this. A lot of times when we evangelize, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get people to be part of what? The family of God, the body of Christ, right? The family of God, body of Christ. When I proposed to my wife, I got down on one knee and I had a ring to put on her ring finger because I wanted her to be a part of this new family, if you will. I wanted to create this new family with her and I to start together. Likewise, if you're married, you do the same thing. You want your spouse to be part of this family. When we go out and we evangelize, when we go tell people about Jesus, we're inviting them not to marry us, but to marry the groom who is Jesus. Because he calls us what? The bride. We're the bride of Christ. And so when we evangelize, obviously it sounds goofy to say that we're proposing to people. We are giving this proposal, though. We're saying, hey, I know where you can get water where you will thirst no more. I know to go where to go somewhere where you will not hunger anymore. I know where to go where all where there's healing, where all hurt stops. I know where to go to get redemption. Here's my proposal. Will you take this? And if they do, praise God, they become part of the body of Christ and they become part of the bride and they get to marry the groom, Jesus, with us. And if they don't, then you have to hold on to that ring until they come around. And you offer up to them again and again and again. I'm going to tell you, my wife would have said no the first time. I'd have came back. I'd have spent the block. And 3 and 4 and 5 and 600 times. All right. 601, I'll be back. Don't worry. I still got the ring in my pocket. I'll be right back. Keep going. Right? That's where we got to be at with people who need Jesus. Okay. You don't want it this time. I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to annoy you. But I'm here. I still love you. I still care about you. I'm still going to sacrifice for you. Okay. You know what? That was time 1001. Maybe 1002, you'll come around and I can put this ring on your finger and you will be part of the body of Christ. Maybe that's what it will be. But we've got to do that. In Matthew 28:19 says, to go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the ways that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now, a lot of times with evangelism, the question is, there's a lot of questions about evangelism. And there's a lot of questions about a lot of things, and it's the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right? Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Well, the who, it told us. It told us about the who. It's you and me. We're to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Those are the two who they're talking about, us and all nations. So if you believe in Jesus, you are the part of the ye, and the people you're talking about are all nations. That's the who. The what? What are you doing? You're telling them about Jesus. You're telling them about Jesus. You're telling them about Jesus, what you're doing. When? Now. Right now, as a matter of fact. Don't wait. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Right now. So I'm going to tell people about Jesus. When? Now. Where? It said it. All nations. Everywhere. There is nowhere that's exempt for you to not tell people about Jesus. I'm wearing this shirt that says Love Guat. My wife and I and the rest of John 3:16 youth and some other staff members have taken kids to Guatemala the past few years over a mission trip. When we first started thinking about doing this, it was an idea or a dream. And it was one that even some of our higher-ups thought would never happen. And we've done it 2 years in a row now. Nowhere is exempt. Took 12 to 13 kids from North Tulsa. We taught them some Spanish. And we went down to Guatemala. And we worked and did ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. And we saw people come to Jesus. In the marketplace, we saw people come to Jesus at the orphanage. Nowhere exempt. I did not know Spanish that well, but God said, I want you to go to Guatemala, take these kids, and go talk about Jesus. Nowhere exempt. Where's he calling you to go? Maybe saying, hey, I want you to go to Paris, France, looking how you're looking, and go tell somebody about Jesus. I was there, Paris, France. And this is be transparent. Most people don't look like us over there. But guess what? Had a job to do. While doing this conference, we were talking to people about Jesus. Matter of fact, went to this restaurant, little bistro on the side, and it's me, Tori, and then two of our students, and we were trying out some France food. We're like, you know, we're in France, we'll try some French food. Tried some snails. Not that bad, believe it or not. Just to be 100% transparent, it didn't taste too bad. I could taste this garlic, had the consistency of a mushroom. Wasn't that bad. The look was worse than the taste, way worse. But these guys could obviously tell it was our first time. They brought us this plate of snails and the tools to eat it. And we, of course, looked at them like, how we do this? And they're like, first time? What was your first guess? You know what I mean? And so they show us how to eat these snails and we're eating them and stuff like that. And they asked a question. And I'll never forget the response when I told them this question, the answer to this question. They said, so what are you guys doing over here and what do you do for work? Well, I told them, well, we're over here for a conference, a Christian conference called Student Leadership University. And I brought these students over here. These are my students. I'm a youth pastor. And when I tell you, their whole entire attitude changed. Oh, pastor. Okay, we're sorry. They started groveling, bowing down. I said, hey, like what they said in Wakanda, we don't do that here. You need to do all that, okay, right? But like, we're gonna watch our mouths. Like, oh, you need to pray for this guy right here, and pray. They started telling me to pray for all these people in the restaurant. They knew need to pray. And I was like, dang, don't put their business out there like that. But I'll pray for them. But all I have to say is, nowhere's exempt. I was going over there for a conference, and in that moment, God said, I'm using you to tell people about Jesus. Not because you're awesome, not because you're great, not because you have any talents, but because you're a willing vessel ready to be used. Likewise with you. God wants you to be a willing vessel ready to be used. He's going to use you to tell people about the kingdom, right? Last thing, fellowship. Sorry, gave that one away, but y'all already knew it. Fellowship, the pinky. Well, that's the smallest one. That's weird. Why would fellowship be the smallest one? Here's why. Get ready for this. This is mind-blowing. Fellowship, if you know anything about your hand, there's a ligament that goes across your ring finger to your pinky. And if you put your hand flat, most people, it's very hard to raise your ring finger up because it is connected to your pinky. Fellowship and evangelism go hand in hand. Fellowship and evangelism go hand in hand. Likewise, just like the thumb touches every single part of your hand. Your pinky can lay over underneath every single part of your fingers. Fellowship has to be part of the underlying part of everything we do. When we get together, we are evangelizing, we are worshiping, we are praising, and we're discipling, and we're praying all that through fellowship. Fellowship is not ... just having a meal after church. Or do you think fellowship, we think, ooh, food. And yes, because we are Oklahomans in the South, we say fellowship, we do mean food a lot of times. But fellowship is more than just the food. It's the getting together to do all four of these things that Christ has called us to do, that God's called us to do, to pray, to disciple, to worship, and to evangelize. That's what fellowship is for and what it should be used for. So those are the five things, the five parts of the ministry. And when we do those parts of the ministry grows. The ministry grows, God's glorified, and people's lives are changed when we do those five parts together. Last thing, we can be doing all five of those parts, and we can be doing a great job, but we don't have the palm, Jesus, it means nothing. 1 Corinthians 13 said, if I can say all the prophecies in the world and speak so eloquently, but I have not God, have not the love of Jesus, I'm nothing but a resounding clang or a banging cymbal. Without Jesus, none of it matters. You can pray the best prayers. You can be the best disciple and follower. You can worship your heart out. You can go and tell 5,000 about Jesus. You can fellowship with a multitude of people. But if it's not under the love of Jesus Christ, it means nothing. Well, why is the palm? Why is that the love? Why is that Jesus? All the fingers are connected to the palm. You can have one finger without the palm. Without the palm, you can't have any fingers at all. No palm, no fingers. No Jesus, no ministry. It's that simple. When Jesus went to the cross, they didn't nail a spike into his fingers. They put it into his hands. They put it into his hands. His hands and his feet. His hands, of course, connected all the fingers, connected all the parts of ministry. His feet, so he would not go anywhere off that cross, right? When you let your hands and your feet be nailed down, you can't do ministry. We're Xing out Jesus and we're keeping our feet planted, ministry does not happen. When your feet are loose, your palms are ready, and your fingers are moving, ministry is happening. And that's what we want. We want ministry to happen every single day. Praise God, I have a job that I work at that I get to do ministry at every single day. Mr. Charles can attest to that. As we go and we do stuff with John 3:16, we encounter people every day who need Jesus. Not only that, I really and truly feel like the small interactions we have make a difference, but only if we're following this right here, this formula. Only if. Likewise, every single person, like the body said, like the Bible says about the body, cannot be on every single finger. Every single person can't be a prayer. That's great. Prayer's great. And don't get me wrong. If we're all praying, that's great. We're all doing, and we're all going to pray. But if nobody goes to be the discipleship finger, the worship finger, the evangelism, the fellowship finger, then we're praying. That's great. That's a great foundation. It's a great start. But if we don't get past this part and move like God's called us to and get stagnant, then all we're doing is repeating words. Everybody can't be on the worship. Can't be on the worship finger, right? We can't all be up here on stage, or we can't all be, the ones leading in worship and all that kind of thing. We can't all be doing that, because then what would the body be? A bunch of people vying for the top. Can't have that. We can't all be part of the evangelism arm. Because the fact of the matter is, if we're going to have people go out there and evangelize, there's nothing to come back here for discipleship or worship. People would come to this building because they've been encouraged by a motivational person, but they want their lives changed by Jesus, because there won't be people here for that. Every single person has to be a part of what we're doing. And whatever your gifting is, you take that and you run with it. If your gifting is you are a prayer warrior, you will pray for a crumb of food, or you will pray for somebody's pinky toe, you be that prayer warrior. We need you. If your gifting is discipleship, you love the word of God and you love just to be accurate and just to be immersed into it and to show people about apologetics, what the Bible really says, you be that. You be that person, be that disciple person. If your heart is to worship, to praise and worship, to lead out in all things of worship, you do that. If you were somebody that can just connect with people, get out there and talk and just really, really just be the hands and feet of Jesus and do life with people, you do that. And lastly, if your gifting is fellowship, hospitality, things of that nature, invite people to your house. Be here at the church when we're having meals. Be on that team. When people walk in, you greet them. If you just that person just loves the fellowship of people, you greet every single person that walks to this church, whether you've seen them one time or 100 times. But we all have to do our part with this hand of ministry for it to happen. So here's my challenge to you. Figure out what your gifting is. Whatever part of that finger your gifting is, you figure out what it is. And you run with it. You take that gifting and you run with it. We don't really have committees or teams here. But I challenge you, if your gifting is prayer, you say, hey, all my prayer people, put a thumb up. Let's get together, let's pray for this church. Let's get together, let's pray for those who are hurting. Let's get together, let's start like a prayer call line where people can call in, get a prayer answered, get prayed for. Let's get a group going on social media where we can just pray for people. They can just put a prayer request that we're going to pray for, or they can send one in anonymously. Or they can send us a message. Let's do that. If you're those people, find your people. Put your thumb up. Maybe discipleship is you. Hey, disciples, we're right here. Disciples of Jesus Christ, we want to teach people. These are our Sunday school teachers, my small group leaders. These are people who have Bible studies on, you know, different nights of the week at their house or a coffee shop or a parking lot or wherever you go. Let's talk some new believers. Let's talk some old believers. Let's show people how to follow Jesus. Hey, find your people. Get it going. You do not need permission to do ministry. You do not need permission to do ministry. Get it going. Worship people, don't put your finger up. put your hand up and say, hey, I want to be a part of the praise team, Jocelyn. Hey, I want to go back there and get trained by Melody on how to do sound and how to do the media stuff so she can get a break and get her praise on too. She does it eloquently and so well doing both multitasking, but she needs a break too to be out here amongst with her family, worshiping and praising. Hey, we need to get some people rotating through this praise team so the worshipers can be out there worshiping amongst the people. We need people to play instruments. We need people to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to pray to get this going because I just have I'm full of life right now. I'm going to get up here and share a word and a prayer and get us going into worship. We need that. Have to have it. Find your people. Evangelism people, get your team. You know what? We're the New Joy Evangelism team. We're going to go around this neighborhood. We're going to knock on doors. And if people talk to us, we're going to talk to them about Jesus and that New Joy Fellowship is here. And if y'all need something, y'all let us know. Evangelism team, y'all can do that. Knock on the door and say, hey, we're out here. If y'all need something, let us know. We're going to go over to East Central High School, and we're going to take a few donuts and say, hey, good morning. Welcome. We're at New Joy Fellowship. We have youth going on Wednesday nights. Come check it out. Hey, here's some pizza, football team. I know y'all work hard, do all this stuff. Volleyball team, soccer team, whatever it is, band, choir, whatever's going on. Hey, we're here to support you guys. We're here. Matter of fact, we're right down the street. We're around the corner. In case y'all need something, we're small, but we're mighty. We'll provide it. We will provide a service, if nothing else. Let us know. We'll be there. And if somebody to come and run a ticket booth one night, if somebody to come and, you know, help clean up a locker room, evangelism team, we're here. We'll do that. Lastly, fellowship team. Get it organized. You know what? We're going to have a meal. We're all going to get together, and we're going to have board games after church and have a meal just to fellowship. Maybe you have people in your life that will never, ever come to church during church, but they will come to a fellowship. And guess what? I said about fellowship. All that stuff is underlying on the fellowship. We're not getting together just to play board games and eat food. Oh, no. We're getting together to talk about Jesus, too. So y'all can get some of this Jesus whether you want it or not. It's coming. Fellowship team, put it together. I challenge you. I challenge you, if you want to take on the challenge of heading up one of those teams, I challenge you. Talk to me. I'll talk to Pastor Forney and we'll figure it out. Because the fact of the matter is, we are all part of New Joy Fellowship body. We're all to do the work of the ministry. It's not just Pastor Forney, not First Lady, not me, not Tori, not Darius, not Mel, not just a praise team, not just the deacons, not just the nursery workers. Everybody does the ministry at New Joy Fellowship. And when we do that, we're successful. When we do that, we grow. And most importantly, when we do that, lives are changed for the kingdom of God.